Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
But let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a little bit. You guys know the news by now. He was cut by the Chiefs yesterday. I don't know what his future holds. I think everybody in Kansas City wishes him well. I think there's a different view on him. It's sad that like it takes stuff like that, but it's just the reality of the business that whatever your view is on him football-wise, I think people have a different view on him as a whole because of how open he's been about the off-the-field struggles that he's been going through. Clearly, the organization
loves him.
Did him
as a teammate. You know,
did right by him, to say the least, by holding him on the roster as long as they did when they knew he wasn't going to play this year, be available to play this year due to the mental health challenges that he's been open about. And I think what happened ultimately was a roster crunch. Probably the Browns coming back. Some other areas, at some point you reach a limit of like how much you can continue to have a guy on the roster that you just know is not going to ever be active for you on game day. But clearly the locker room, the locker room and everybody loved the guy. And I think he will have a much different legacy in Kansas City than how people were talking about him after year one. Because after year one, he was a first round pick and he had, 1,200 yards from scrimmage and everybody was excited, but people were still almost... Still expecting more. And then the rookie year was the best we ever saw from him. I think he was never the same player after the ankle injury in that New Orleans Saints game. He just never came back. Plus, perhaps we now know was dealing with some stuff
some
off
other
the field
medical stuff,
as well. I don't know if he plays in the league again. I'm not sure. How do you view him, though? Because I will never forget the opening game against the Texans. The reason why I will never forget it, one, because he played great. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, it was Sunday Night Football. And he burst onto the scene. Here? Like, here they go again. And you guys know I collect trading cards. And I had a rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire autograph, like LSU card. And I don't know if I talked about it on the air with you. I know we were texting. Maybe we talked about like, do I sell this thing now or hold on to it? It's a rookie card. It's an LSU uniform one, so they don't hold their value. And I think I sold it at that time for like $160. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to regret doing this. That was the high point. That was the high point
Week
of
one
it.
Of the first game he ever played for the Chiefs was the best.
And now you probably can get that same card for, I don't know, like $5 or $10. My point of bringing that story up is let's not forget like what we were saying about him the first 8 games of his career in Kansas City. Like he was living up to the hype, to the first round pick, the first 8 games. And unfortunately, it gradually kind of went down. Then he gets hurt. And then we all know, I mean, a lot of people didn't think he would have been on the team this year. They re-signed him in the offseason, but a lot of people thought he wasn't even going to be around. I think he's someone that people will be rooting for a long time. He's won multiple rings, 3, as a matter of fact, but he was clearly overdrafted. That's fair to say for just time on the football.
Sure.
He was clearly overdrafted. That's not his fault he got drafted in the first round, but he should not have been a first round pick. They were comparing him to Brian Westbrook.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, not us. That was Andy Reid's direct comp for CEH. Look, if you said, did the pick work? No. Is he a first-round bust? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got like 2,000 total yards, career yards, as a guy they took 4 years ago in the first round. It did not work. There's no argument that it didn't work from a football field perspective, and this is why people will always tell you, don't take first-round running backs, all the normal stuff.
And it didn't help that in the same year, of course, you had Jonathan Taylor end up turning into one of the better backs in the league.
Yeah, like the pick again, after or whatever, and has remained one of the better backs.
Happens every year in the draft. It just so happens it was this player, this position.
Yeah, T. Higgins was the pick after that, and that would obviously have been a better pick. There were plenty of people who you could have taken instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. First-round picks always seem to go in this like special little category where you're like, well, here we go. Glenn Dorsey, yeah. What a nightmare. Jonathan Baldwin, where we just discuss them as these like players that never panned out. I kind of want to, and it's easy because like those are all football things, and he deserves from a football perspective to be lumped in with the rest of those. But with him in particular, and I had said this in a day in which you were out, because of the off-field stuff, I am always going to view it differently. One, because of the three-time Super Bowl champion. So Glenn Dorsey don't have that in town. So no matter how big of a bust you were, you got to hold rings and do this stuff. And by all accounts, was the ultimate teammate, even in the face of a lot of severe adversity. But I don't, man, going back and listening to that Pivot podcast and all the stuff he was dealing with, for all I know, this was a pick that did make sense and would have worked fine. No, he wouldn't have been a superstar or anything like that, but would have worked fine for a four-year run had he not suffered from PTSD, dealt with this additional stuff, and then, like, some of the stuff, like, the way he handled himself during the parade shooting or other stuff. I'm going to remember, this is going to be the most fondly, I remember a first-round bust ever, by a mile, because of the person. So, like, that part is weird. Because typically what happens is with first, this is where he's going to land in this category.
That's why you have to separate the two. I think, you know, there's the reality of the football side of things did not live up to the pick. But also, I think as people got to know him more or whatever, people also are going to always kind of have that in the back of their mind about his career as well. And some of the things that he did in the community and obviously how open he was. And by him speaking about some of his challenges, I'm sure it did help some people. But yeah, on the football end, look, I mean, his rookie year, he had 803 yards on the ground and almost 300 receiving. After that, he played in 10 games, and 15 games. I mean, he couldn't stay healthy. It was not the same running back after that ankle injury. It makes you wonder, what if, and there's so many stories of that in the league, but what if that ankle injury doesn't happen? What kind of player is he? And then Isaiah Pacheco comes along in 2022, and it was pretty clear
He was the better
running back, or what was it, 2022, I think, when Pacheco. So he was clearly the better back at that point in time. And, you know, this particular season, though, I think the organization deserves also a ton of credit in a sport that can be absolutely brutal and cutthroat. Yeah. A lot of teams would just cut him at training camp, would have said, okay, I mean, we're sympathetic, but you're not playing for us. We can't hold a spot. They did. Because it tells you how much respect the locker room had for Clyde, that they held on to him till week 16. They did their damnedest to try to keep him on the roster all year. Ultimately, they ran into a roster crunch, it looks like.
And I apologize, he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He wasn't here for the first one. Gotcha. He'd come right after the first Super Bowl. But still, when you look through it, it's like, yeah, I mean, and honestly, let's just look back in retrospect. Do you know how this pick went bad? Like, because of all this stuff I said, like, I'll always remember Clyde fondly because multiple Super Bowl championships and because he's a good dude and all the things he did in Kansas City that I think were good for the city. I mean, I got to be honest. I'm not sure I couldn't have had 1,000 yards at LSU the year he played. Holy cow! That is the single most stacked offense in the history of college football.
Okay.
His two wide receivers were I'm obviously being hyperbolic.
He had three good ones.
Dude,
it was the most stacked roster ever.
But. Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
And Terrence Marshall.
And Terrence, three NFL wide receivers. And Terrence Marshall was also being the beneficiary of, like, sucking up some of the lack of coverage because he shouldn't have been drafted or he was drafted either, obviously. And it turns out Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson might have been making coverage easier for you at your time at LSU. I don't blame them for the thought. For the same reason, I understand why they took Xavier Worthy this year. I want the Chiefs taking weapons around Patrick Mahomes. Yes, I want a good offensive line. Yes, I want defensive linemen. But every 2, 3, 4 years, when you're in the first round, it shouldn't just be, here comes another defensive end. Here, it should be a wide receiver sometimes. It should be maybe in the second round a high-level running back that you think fondly of because those guys get turned and burned a lot in this league. And having an elite-level back, you see what it does for Jared Goff. You see what having Gibbs and Montgomery did for him the entire year. Having a good offensive line does. I got the idea at the time, but obviously they got the wrong back. Had they gotten Jonathan Taylor? You know, I don't know. Maybe
it's one of those, like, would Jonathan Taylor begin the workload he got in Indianapolis? Because we how many times we have the run the ball more segment and all that. I think Jonathan Taylor, obviously receiving back wise, would have been interesting in this offense. Look, they thought he was going to be, you know, Brian Westbrook. That was the audio that we played the day after Clyde was drafted. We also had the audio where they claim, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Remember the Andy Reid audio where he's like, Clyde, Patrick chose you or whatever. Remember that whole thing that was a big deal at the time?
Oh, yeah.
I remember doing that show.
Pat should not be the GM, I guess, if that was what really happened.
Yeah. I mean, again, as we discussed that, it's one of those where Brett Veach said, hey, we're going to take this guy. What do you think? And Pat's probably like, yeah, go take him. I want him.
Sounds cool to me.
So therefore, that's, you know, it's a great story. It sounds like it becomes a great story. That was at the time. I think we were doing shows from your basement at the time. I think I recall doing that draft, post-draft show. That was back right after. That was COVID.
Yeah. That was
a COVID draft, wasn't it? That's the other thing about his career. Like, wasn't that the COVID draft, him and Willie Gay Jr., the same draft class?
2020?
Yeah.
I think that was the COVID year.
Not Veach's finest draft. Where does Clyde rank amongst his worst picks?
Not at the top, though.
Well, he's still behind Breland Spieth.
Yeah, I mean, he's a first-round pick, so that automatically is going to elevate you. You know.
To this point of his career, he's been more, I guess, quote-unquote, productive than Felix Anudike-Uzomah. I know the jury's still out, obviously, on that.
I just want it for the record.
More productive.
For the record, I want it to be said. I didn't say that, okay? Well,
but there's no lie. Maybe I didn't say not that. A lie.
No, there's not.
There's no, I'm not saying not I
don't
a lie.
I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying I didn't
right now.
Say it.
Right now.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Right now, I don't think you can say that's a bad. That's not Breland a bad
thing. Breland Spieth will always be at the top of the list.
Yeah, he didn't make it to like 2 years.
It's too early to tell on Kingsley. Doesn't look great.
Or Tano
Kingsley
wasn't. You,
sorry,
maybe?
Kingsley wasn't a first round pick. If we're just talking about only first round picks or all time picks.
No, just all time. Kingsley's.
He'll be in the conversation depending on where things trend. It's too early to completely write him off.
Yeah. As of right now, I think it would fairly easily be. I think he'd probably be like in the top five at worst. And that's partially just because of like how high he was taken. Top three at worst. Right now, the competition outside of Breland Spieth, which was his first year as a GM, so I really don't care. Kingsley and Felix feel like they could enter this conversation.
I will say it can't be the worst pick when if you're going to say the guy that you had in Brett Veach tenure, someone's texting in Todd Blackledge. We're not talking about an all-time Chiefs history. We're talking about under Brett Veach.
he's just a baby, an infant. Blackledge.
Yeah. No, like with Clyde, like definitely can't be the worst one when in your rookie year you had 1,300 yards and you were part of two Super Bowl teams. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What about Sky Moore? He was on two Super Bowl teams, too.
Yeah. That's insulting to Clyde to suggest that his production was anywhere what they've gotten out of Sky.
No.
Clyde is much
Clyde's
more productive.
Production way better than what they got
Sky's
out of Sky.
Worse. That's what I'm saying. Sky's a worse pick.
And I understand he wasn't a first-round pick, but
it's
way
close
worse.
Enough. He's 15 picks later.
That was clearly a way... No, that's my point, is that Clyde can't be at the top of the list when he gave you 1,300 yards his rookie year and was part of two Super Bowl championship teams.
Yeah, I agree. Sky also has two Super Bowl wins.
No, but
I know.
The production part.
I know.
We just can't ignore that. Like, holy crap.
If you look at all the picks, I don't even know if you could say he's in the five worst. If you look at all seven rounds.
Hey, they also had the one pick that didn't even make it out of training camp.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, I'm What's never going to rank him below Darian Kennard guy.
And Kennard, too. That's another one.
Like, I'm never going to rank him below, like, dudes who got taken in the seventh round. If we're talking worst picks of all time, I think we can all agree that it has to occur in the first three rounds. Like, it has to be like, for John Dorsey, one of the worst picks he ever made was Kavari Russell. Even though it was a third round pick, he didn't make it through training camp.
That's who I was saying, but that was a Dorsey pick. That's who I was thinking of, too.
When you start making picks that don't make it through training camp, we're having a slightly different conversation if it goes in that. But yeah, someone was trying to get mad at me for that initial Felix take from Drew. I don't want to like point this out. And I actually still have some hope. I told Gold this before the show. Because I think I've gotten a reputation on this show for being anti-Felix Anudike-Uzomah.
Definitely
anti-K-State.
Okay, I will admit, I did not like the pick coming out of the draft. I made that very clear from the second that they drafted him. And to this point, I don't think I've been proven wrong. That was it. I would also still think that I don't think it's crazy that Felix Anudike-Uzomah could still turn into a productive NFL player.
I think we all think that,
though. The way that Turk Wharton turned into a productive NFL player. Would I call him that right now? I would not.
No, my issue when we've discussed these players, I think sometimes you are very quick
to bury
someone after like six games in and be like, well, just done.
I know, but
it doesn't mean that ultimately the opinion is wrong at the end. I just don't think with certain players, even if they're first round pick, especially linemen, on a team that's trying to repeat or go for a three-peat where you have clearly starters, you're gonna prioritize guys that can help you immediately over that. It's not there's not a runway that you have maybe on for that particular season. I think sometimes you call a pick over, like we already know how they are six games into their career, and sometimes that is who the player is. Very true.
Somebody said McCole Hardman.
I mean, McCole's turned out to be fine because
has he been more productive than Clyde has just career wise?
Yes, he has. Quite a bit more productive, maybe twice as productive, I would say, and has just as many rings. But I just like, I'm not disagreeing with you that sometimes I'm a little early. But I think sometimes we're afraid to admit that there are occasionally players, I think there's like one a year across, there's like 10 a year across the NFL, when you just know, that ain't it. Like, I don't know what you were thinking there, but we can all, like, with Sky Moore, I thought right away, you'd be like, Man, I don't see it.
Yeah, but all training camp, everybody was, you couldn't have been, not you, just people couldn't have been gloating more about Sky Moore in his first training camp. Remember, like, it was, we had the interview with him. I remember we were at camp and everybody's talking about how amazing he looked on the football field at camp. And then, of course, so we've done it on the opposite side as well.